Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. Today we have lovely Sandy on. Now it's all about courage today. The courage to step forward, the courage to move ahead, the courage to sit in all our splendor, glory, and even the crappy stuff, and how to get out of that. So I'm really looking forward to this. Now, Sandy is an author as well. So she's got this wonderful book called The Courage Circle. We're going to learn all about the book. And this is not a book flogging episode. What I really like is that her book is about personal development. It is about her story, but it's also about personal development and how you can move forward, have the courage to move forward and step ahead. But that's me talking. Now, I want to share, like, subscribe to the podcast, do all that stuff, but let's get into the good stuff. Okay, Sandy, welcome on board.
Thanks so much for having me, Susan. I appreciate it. And I loved your intro, by the way. I was just watching it like everyone else. It's so pretty.
Oh, thank you. It sort of puts me in the right zone.
Totally.
It's like, you know, like that little, light bulb goes off and you say, oh, yes. Here we are.
Yeah, it's really lovely.
Thank you. But we're going to talk about you because I really like what you've put together here. And before we actually started recording, I was talking to Sandy about it. And when she said the Courage Circle, I was thinking of women's circles. I was thinking of a group of people because to me, even being in a group of people takes a bit of courage to sit there and talk about your stuff. But this Courage Circle is all about you. We're all about the individual when we go in. So it's another tool to help us develop our intuition, another tool to help us learn about who we are and what we're doing and where we're going and the courage to do that, which is what I really like. So I'm really looking forward to this. But first of all, Sandy, I need to get an understanding of who you are, where you've come from, like what, not as in where you come from, you know what I mean.
Where do I come from?
Your journey, a bit about your life. How on earth did you get to the Courage Circle?
You know, I think I've lived a lot of joy in my life, but also a lot of adversities, like a lot of people. And, you know, I was managing to get by, and I had a good life in many ways, difficult life in many ways. But the past few years actually got quite difficult. So emotionally, I was really not feeling well at all during COVID. I had difficulties in my relationship and myself and everything. And I decided that I'm going to paint a little circle on my wall. I don't know what got me to do that. And to just kind of sit there and try to figure out what to do or how to live in a way that I can feel okay. And so I did a lot of meditation. I watched a million things. I read a million things. And I just started taking a lot of notes. And these notes, I was like, oh, this is a great thing. Somebody I heard about people pleasing. Okay. And I would take down notes. And, oh, this is something I felt today. And I take down notes. So I was just kind of putting together, you know, almost like a scientist, I would see it, to be honest with you, just information that would work for me. And eventually it kind of worked, I guess, because I now feel like I'm able to live feeling well, like inside, pretty much no matter what's happening on the outside. It doesn't mean there isn't difficulties. It's just I kind of know how to navigate now. And so once I published the book, I decided to do, so originally it's a circle around yourself. That was the idea about it. But now I do circles in person with other people to discuss these pieces of the puzzles, so other people can maybe look to find in themselves a way to live and feel it well as well. Backdrop, I'm a lawyer, but that has nothing to do with this.
There you go. Well, it's all part of it, isn't it, really? It's our life and our journey. What I really liked about that, Sandy, is that you're saying that you wanted to find, there was an issue, so you wanted to find more about it. You've drawn a circle, and then you've got all this information. You've got information from other people, information from different areas, all sorts of things. And that's one of the things that I really, really push when I'm talking on the podcast. Why I wanted to do the podcast, I want to bring forward all that different type of information, because not everything you say should resonate with me.
Absolutely. And
not everything I say should resonate with people. Sure, there's going to be stuff in there that will resonate, but I don't want everything to resonate with you, because this is me, this is my life, and yours is going to be different. And you know, all the listeners are going to be different. And it's taking what we want from everybody, those little bits and pieces. And I don't mean like stealing them. I just, like you say, you hear something, you sort of go, oh, that resonates with me. That makes sense. I'm going to take that. And then what you have created is basically a jigsaw puzzle of all these pieces, and you've put it together, and it's the courage circle. I've put it together, and it's flower reading. Like, holy shit, talk about two different things.
Different puzzles.
Exactly. But the results are still the same when they're all built. Yeah. It's you.
It's a different path to the same place.
So thank you for that to start with. Thank you for acknowledging that it's not all me. It's information that I've got. The book is all me, because that's where it's come through. But the information you've received from lots of little places, and I've done exactly the same. So tick, beautiful, love that. Yeah. Right, so you've written the courage circle. You've got an understanding there. I want to know, first of all, because I'm a uni nerd, I want to know the definition of courage. Now, I don't want it as in what the dictionary says. I want it as what you say. What do you define courage as?
Well, it's certainly not just jumping in front of a train to save somebody. That is not how I consider courage. For me right now, I don't know if I saw it this way before, it is a constant way of living. It's constant because, one, it takes a ton of courage just to be yourself in our world. So if you're going to live in our world being yourself, then for me, by definition, you'll have to have a constant courage to do that. It takes courage to set boundaries. It takes courage to look inside and see the truth about yourself. Maybe behaviors you've been doing that were not so helpful or kind or something, but it takes courage to look at the truth and see what's there. So those are things that come to my mind. But in terms of like the feeling, it's like something that's just hard somehow to do, but you know you must do it or want to do it, and so you do it anyways, even though it's kind of a challenge or scary, or you don't know where it's going to go or what it's going to do, but there's another part of you that knows to go ahead. And so that's, I guess, the courage overrides those other things that go on inside, something like that.
Okay. Can you give us an example? Because straight away, you know, people, like you say, when people talk about courage, it's like, oh, well, saving a person from the fire. And yes, it is courageous. We're not saying that it's not courageous.
Yeah.
But it is, I guess, courage is on that sliding scale, isn't it?
And it's very personal, yeah. And it depends on you, where you're at. So, for example, somebody in the circle told me that they had managed, and they were over 50, they had managed to tell their family for the first time in their life that, you know, tonight I'm not going to be joining for dinner, this weekly dinner that they have, because they really wanted to attend something else. And that took an immense amount of courage for that person in that time of their life to be able to do something. So it's not like an objective thing. It's what it took them to do something that was difficult. I think that was a very courageous move. Sometimes it could be courageous to someone in the circle. You know, they came and they said they have social anxiety, but they managed to just come and like sit there. That's major courage, right? So if you remove the judgment and just look factually what's occurring in each person, we can see many, many signs of courage on a constant basis around us.
Absolutely, yeah. And yeah, like I said, it's that sliding scale. What we see as courage, you know, to stand up. Well, somebody said to me, oh, how did you start a podcast? I mean, that must be so hard. For me, it was simple. I mean, it wasn't hard. I didn't feel I needed to be courageous. And yet for somebody else, they looked at it and thought it was very, very courageous. So yes, it is. It has all those elements in it. And I think, okay, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to throw you in the deep end, Sandy. For you to determine if it's courageous or not for yourself, if you're actually tapping into your courage yourself, what are the things that you would be going through personally in order to step through that? Like, obviously, you're stepping through something. You're up against something. You're bashing up against something, and you need to step through it. What would that sort of look like?
So it's exactly like you said. I did like a movement class once with the group, and some people, you know, it was a big challenge for them to move. And then someone had told me how, you know, it's courageous how you can move so freely. And I answered kind of just like you. No, that for me is not courageous, because that's easy for me to do. Maybe it's difficult for someone else, but for me, that's absolutely not an act that I would consider courageous. For me, courageous probably includes a certain level of fear. I guess you have to feel a little bit of fear in there, not knowing what's going to happen, having non-clarity about the impact or the outcome, and just going forth anyways, because there's some, you know, deeper part of you that says yes, and you're trusting that deeper part of you to say yes, whether that deeper part of you is saying, yes, do this to take care of yourself, or yes, do this because you have a feeling it's good for your life, or who knows, you know, why that feeling comes in, but it's trusting that feeling despite the fear you're having, and then choosing that you don't want to be stopped by the fearful moment that you're having. So it's definitely not the lack of fear. When I have courage, it's because I'm scared and I'm doing it anyways. And actually, one of them is coming up tomorrow, where I'm never done this in my life, but I ended up practicing with my friend's band, and my friend can't show up, and now I'm going to like sing in a band tomorrow, and I'm terrified to do it, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's that feeling. So we start, you get this feeling that you want to do something. As you said, with the lady, she wanted to go to another event and not go to the family event, you do want to go, you want to do the singing, you know, you've got that in the back. It's saying, you know, let's do this. Well, mine was definitely writing the book. It was like, you're doing it. You don't know, you know, and then all the fear starts to jump up in front of you. Then it's like, you know, you're going singing, am I good enough? Can I do this? Can I do it in front of people? You know, I want to go to this other event rather than go to the, what will the family say? What would they look at? You know, how are they going to respond to that? With me writing the book, like, oh my goodness, it'll be a flop, or this will happen, or that'll happen. So it's knowing that feeling, isn't it? And it doesn't matter what it is. It's that feeling that we're getting and acknowledging that we're getting these fears come through. So the feeling is wanting to do it.
Yeah.
And the fears are popping up in front of us. So really, it's the courage is moving through that fear, isn't it?
Yeah, through, over, around. I don't know exactly, but definitely going to the other side.
And that's why it's different for everyone, because we all have different fears.
That's right. Yeah, and we all have different lives. Fears. That's right. Yeah. So for me, it could be just the same act of courage. This woman who told her family not to go for dinner, as somebody else doing some, you know, major thing. It could be the same act of courage. And this goes along with a lot of, you know, the focus, not the only focus, but one of the first things we do in the courage circle is to start to understand our own feelings, our own bodies, our own, what's happening inside us, and stop looking anywhere else for that, and to validate what we feel. So whether that's fear, sadness, anger, you know, and not demonize these emotions and just listen to them and understand them instead. So that's a very big part of how we start, at least with the Courage Circle. And I think that's a very big part of learning to trust yourself, to realize that internally we do have a guidance system, and it does include our emotions. Our emotions are not our enemy. They are our guidance system. It's kind of the opposite as we've been taught, I think. And so we look to other things inside. So the same way I look to myself, like, yes, I want to do this tomorrow, or whatever this is, feelings that are coming from the inside. And so it's definitely an inner, you know, it's a circle where we put a lot of attention of what's going in on inside of, and try to remove, I guess, I don't say it directly, but at least question, you know, why put so much power and attention on others instead of really taking it on and leading a self-directed life, instead of, you know, having other people decide what's good, not good, to approve this or that, reject this or that, and look really inside and trust that.
Yes, and often we do take on their emotions rather than following our own. Yeah. But there's something you said, and I want to bring that forward a bit more. But before I do, for those who are on the podcast, if you want to connect with Sandy, it is www.thecouragecircle.com. So you can connect with Sandy on www.thecouragecircle.com. So jump through on that one. Now, you said demonizing emotions. You know, and of course, I've got that in the description. I read that, and it's like, ooh, I like how she said this. Let's talk a little bit more about that. What do you mean by doing that?
Well, I think for the past like 5,000 years or so, people have been demonizing emotions as if there's something bad or wrong about them. For me, my emotions guide me. So if I'm sad, that means, you know, maybe I'm lonely, maybe I need to find a friend or whatever. So I might look at the feeling and see what I need instead of judging it or trying to put it away or say, oh, I shouldn't feel sad, I have everything, or criticizing or something like that. Same with anger. I mean, that's another one that's constantly, demonized as if it's a terrible emotion. I don't agree. I think it gives us energy to know what we should do. So usually, you know, if we get angry, it might mean we need to set a boundary somewhere, you know, someone is acting in a way that is not okay with us or something like that. It could be many things, unless we're using anger to control people. But putting that aside, anger can actually be your friend and to guide you and give you energy towards something that is good for you. But of course, we'll distinguish feeling angry and doing an aggression on someone. That's not the same thing, but we are allowed to feel angry as much as we want. I mean, it's the truth. We feel it. So, it's really important to allow those feelings. We're not going to do anything at the moment about it. We're just feeling. And then we can, you know, eventually maybe calm down and look at it and decide what to do. But to demonize and say you should not feel angry or you should not feel sad, for me, is just, I mean, not only is it gaslighting and dismissive and all those words, but it actually causes a lot of internal anxiety and second guessing yourself and uncertainty about yourself, because it's a message that, oh, something's wrong with me. I feel things I'm not supposed to feel. Like, there's an underlying message of something is wrong with you. So no wonder almost every single person I meet seems to walk around with this feeling of something is wrong with them. You know, so that's one of the things we tackle there. But it makes sense if everyone around the world is constantly giving that message to each other. You shouldn't feel this. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't think this. You shouldn't, you know, the message is something's wrong with what you're feeling. Something is wrong. You know, that's the underlying message coming through. So validating somebody's emotions or your own emotions definitely starts to refute and challenge that idea completely. And from there, we can start to, you know, again, have the courage to follow ourselves and be ourselves, regardless of what others might think.
Can I just put something forward on that, too? Because that's all about intuition as well.
Absolutely.
So I just want to bring forward to it because I explain it and this creates a little bit more clarity for people. Mm-hmm. I explain feelings as the feelings are from the intuition, from our soul. And that's why, like you're saying, we shouldn't demonize them. The feelings come from within. I look at emotions as energy in motion.
Yeah.
And that's what we're expressing externally.
Yeah.
So when we say we feel this, it's like you with the singing, you're feeling it, but the emotion that you're expressing could be more fearful. It could be, put it for this, I can't say for your example because I don't know what you're experiencing, but say you're experiencing a little bit of
sadness
or guilt. Yeah. Sometimes I feel a bit of guilt. Maybe I should have done this. Maybe I should have done, and I'm feeling guilt, but I can often express it as angry. I can often express it as an emotional, as an anger, or, yeah. You know, you have people that are feeling sad or emotional and they're driving down the road and all you see is the emotion of road rage, you know.
Right.
They're feeling it. A lot of comedians can be quite depressed. How they're expressing it is through humor.
Right.
So,
for sure, I agree. Yeah. Underlying anger sometimes is other feelings. So you could be hurt, sad,
depression,
all kinds of things underneath. Yeah. For sure. Absolutely.
When I explain it to people in that way, the feelings are what you're actually feeling, and that's what you're getting from your intuition. That's you. Don't, as you say, don't demonize that because that's true feelings.
Yeah.
That's your soul speaking to you. How you're expressing it or how other people are expressing it as an emotion, that's what we need to be a bit more aware of.
Yeah, know? Expressing I'm anger, like, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
it's I'm not like okay to do.
Yeah.
Right,
yep.
That's not the same thing. Feeling anger and expressing anger are two different things.
Two different.
I think that's why people, you know, think anger is so horrible because we're witnessing a lot of aggression, but the problem is not aggression. The problem is not feeling anger. The problem is the expression of aggression, right? They're two separate things.
Yeah, exactly. So their emotions coming out as anger, but what they're feeling could be completely different. And when I sort of explain it like that, it's people start to get a little bit more of an aha. They start to get a bit more of an understanding of it. And that's exactly what you're saying. You've got the feeling. And the fear might come through, and if we can't push through that fear, we'll take that on and we will change that emotion or that feeling into an emotion, and that's what we'll take forward. So I love how you've done that. That's cool. Now, I want to go next into your book because you started to go through a couple of the chapters in your book, and I found it really interesting. So the first thing you did with your book is – or getting through your courage and getting an understanding of courage is you did your circle. Why did you do the circle?
Well, I painted a circle on my wall when I was in, difficulties, and I was sitting there and I realized the power of sitting with yourself and feeling what's going on with yourself. And so for me, the first step in the courage circle would be just to draw a circle. So it's kind of a metaphor, but to draw a circle around yourself and to start to look inside of what's going on. And then, you know, I have different sections in the book where, you know, then you start to sit and in your circle and see what's going on. And, you know, many chapters about that. And the next chapter might look a little more erratic where you're feeling a lot of the past pain and past emotions and being honest about things. And that's part of starting to be yourself and feel yourself is that you probably have to go towards some painful feelings as well and experience them in order for them to pass. And then, you know, we start to become fourth chapter, a little bit more at ease. We're starting to understand, you know, a bunch of things up to there. So now you might just sit in your circle, but relax, not so much confused or lost as it starts in terms of imagery of the chapters. The next chapter, I think it's a fifth chapter where, in my view, it's time to actually stand up and probably have to set boundaries, stand up for yourself, speak up for yourself and start to, have your surroundings match what you now feel about yourself inside, right? So, you know, the more you are for yourself, you're not going to behave the same way or tolerate the same behaviors around you. And so there's probably many instances at that point where you probably have to stand up and, you know, say something or say no, or, you know, many of those that might happen. And then for me, after that, you might, you know, walk out of your circle and start, you know, going in the world and, you know, finding, now that you maybe feel more like you, literally, because you've been with yourself so much and you know yourself better. And so now you can walk out into the world and be yourself, whatever that means. So it could mean one thing for one person, doing podcasts or whatever. It could mean what I'm doing, doing curve circles. It could, you know, every person is different, but you've now walked out and are in the world being yourself in a deep way, also with the strength of what you might have learned. So probably I would see it like you're soft and you're strong at the same time, because you've learned to be very kind to yourself first and then to others, and also very strong in your spine. And so we walk out into the world and do what we do, each person, I guess, live. And then the last chapter, I like to talk a lot about power and what a powerful person actually looks like. And for me, a powerful person is not the one that is using force. That's not the same thing as power, or what you might read about in the news, but it's a person who, you know, is clear in themselves about what they're doing, who is flexible, who is has, you know, a sense of inner peace about their activities or their who they are. You know, so I don't remember the exact sections they are, but really to redefine what a powerful human being looks like, compared to what we read about.
Wow. I like that. So you're basically walking people through and they're getting an understanding of it all, so they can become more courageous within themselves.
Yeah. And just be yourself. I mean, that's the ultimate courage, to be yourself in the world. Yeah.
So can I ask, because of what you've gone through, and you said you were a lawyer to start with?
Yep.
Are you still practicing law?
I've been teaching for 20 years. I teach seminars, like purchasing professionals, so not in the traditional practice, but.
Okay, right. So did you find that, so with your book and everything else, when you're starting to step through your courage, because I want to get a little bit more about you, I'm going to go a little bit more personal. When you were going through all of this, were you working full time? Were you starting to get that sort of situation where I didn't want to be in that field any longer and I wanted to move forward? Or were you, what was going on? What made you decide to draw that circle?
So I think, no, it had nothing to do with the work. That was, you know, that's been going on for many years and it was not full-time. I had another full-time job in a software company, actually, doing software testing work, and that stopped during COVID. So I guess I found myself with more time and also, you know, everybody in the house with all the difficulties that were coming out of that. And, you know, there were some issues with family members that were very difficult. And I think what made me start to draw that circle was just me not feeling well, you know, me not feeling well and wanting to help myself, wanting to figure out how I could feel well regularly, not just like, okay, I feel well today in a superficial way. I mean, in a deep way.
Yes. When you're saying well.
Yeah.
Again, I'm digging a little bit deeper.
Sure.
When you're saying well,
yes.
Are you saying well in a physical sense? Because I've been sick lately and feeling well would be fine, but I wouldn't draw a circle. However, when I start looking at feeling well, it's, I guess I put it personally down to, I don't feel like I'm in control of my life. Then I would draw a circle.
Yeah, I don't know if it was necessarily in control, but definitely things seemed completely chaotic at the time. And in terms of feeling well, I don't know what other definitions other people use, but for me, when I say now I feel well, I mean it in a very deep way, meaning like, you know, I don't have any more, you know, big emotions that come about so often because my relationships have been all addressed, meaning, you know, I put boundaries where I need to, I had conversations where I had to, I felt old pain where I had to. So I feel well in that way. You know, there was a lot of kind of cleanup. I also feel well in terms of knowing myself and speaking and doing what I think I have to do. I know how to set my boundaries. I'm clear on how I want to live my life. I don't get affected by other people's opinions of me, etc. So that's major. I mean, there's many components of it. So it's not just like, I feel well today, I'm just going for a walk. It's really, I feel like whatever is going on, I'm okay with it. So that's a much deeper level. I'm not anymore. Controlling people, controlling life. You know, it's a whole world to say. So maybe I need a different word for us to relate to. What word would you use for?
It's not that, Sandy. Yeah. You use whatever words you want to. I'm trying to put it across so that other listeners.
Oh, yeah.
They would use different words, you know.
Sure. Sure.
And they will have a different reason to draw that circle.
Yeah.
And I know, and when I say I don't feel like I had control over my life, it's not I want to control everyone in my life. That I'm not like that. I don't need to do that. But I need to feel that I have control over how I'm feeling, what I'm doing, where I'm going. And it's exactly the same. I call it control over my life. You call it well. And it's just beautiful how we all have it a different way. And the reason why I brought that forward is because, again, the listeners will have a different reason to draw that circle.
Yes.
And that is once they get that understanding where they go, I don't like where it's at the moment for some reason. It's either work. Yours was time. It was all of a sudden you had this time on your hands. What am I going to do? In the relationships, things are coming on, you know, happening here. All of a sudden it gave you a reason to draw that circle. And why I'm bringing this up is for the listeners to go, is it time to draw that circle? Mm. Is it time for them to go, hang on, let's draw this circle? And I respect that circle so much because for me, I know there was a time in my life when I was starting, I don't believe I've ever had depression, but I felt like I was going along towards that way.
Yes, yes.
And what I got the feeling was, my biggest feeling for that was I didn't feel like I had a future. To start with, I could book or look at something 6 months down the track. The deeper I started to go, the more sadder the less that time frame became until I got to the stage where I could only think a week ahead. And it was really, really challenging. So if anybody said, oh, what are you doing next month? It was like, that's too far ahead. I don't know whether I've got next month, you know?
Yeah.
Oh. And that's how I see this circle. It's like, okay, I got to the stage, exactly to that stage where I went, I have to
do something. I better do something. I'm in trouble, right?
And stop looking externally of this circle and start focusing internally of that circle and really get that understanding. So I really like how you've said that and how you've put that forward, because everyone will get to a stage where they need to draw that circle and start to go within.
And where that happens for each person, who knows, you know, but there is a way to, I just want to give people hope. Like, it is possible. Like, if you had seen how badly I felt and others as well, like, it is possible to come out of these things. I just truly feel like we've had so much wrong messaging between each other as human beings or from parents or just in general. It doesn't give us the tools and the little guides that we need to know how to navigate our life. But it is absolutely, I mean, I completely believe in every single person's ability. And what I see in the circles when I facilitate is that, you know, each person, given an environment where nobody's putting anybody down or criticizing or anything, you know, the possibility of self-inquiry and growth and understanding of the self and caring for the self is just, it's really, really possible. It's just we don't have much of those environments right now. So unfortunately, you kind of have to do the work very much with yourself, but that's fine. It's possible. But I, you know, it would be nice if there's more people that can sit with each other and help each other kind of get through these, you know, challenges and support each other instead of criticizing and all the other stuff that happens, unfortunately, too often. Yeah,
I totally agree. And the other aspect to it is that if people are ready to draw that circle, you are there. You've got a book there, The Courage Circle, How to Live in Truth and Dare by Sandy Stream. You've also got women's, you've also got circles too, courage circles, as in real ones.
Yes, I didn't know I would do that. Yeah, but I didn't know I'd do that. I'm just going with, you know, what I feel I should do, basically.
Yeah,
so yeah, the next thing I felt I should do is start Real Circles. So I have at two yoga studios in Montreal. We meet in person once a week and discuss, you know, all the topics that those puzzle pieces, I guess, so we discuss them in person. And then just recently, a couple of weeks ago, I started also an online one. So if people want to join, you're welcome to join online from anywhere in the world. I put it right now as Montreal, Toronto, but it's not restricted by that. So it's on the Meetup app. But if you just go to my website, you're welcome to join. And every week we're doing different topics. And actually, I have one in 15 minutes that we're doing our online one. So that's always going to be interesting. And I love to do them because I just myself love being in an environment where human beings are just talking to each other with, you know, from that deeper place with respect and with honesty and with openness. And that's what I feel is really magical about doing this kind of work.
Yeah, and that's courage in itself, openness and honest, honestness. Yeah, you know what I
mean. Yeah, honesty, yeah.
Before you go, I do want to ask, now, The Courage Circle, the book, The Courage Circle, How to Live in Truth and Dare, that when you told me the subject, I was like, ooh, I like that. Why have you got How to Live in Truth? And I mean, I get living in truth, get that. How to Live in Truth and Dare. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, well, the truth, I guess you understand. You need to see the truth about what you feel, et cetera, what happened in your life, all that stuff. And then to dare, I guess because in my view, to live, you know, fully in our, you know, in the world, being yourself, it actually, you need to be a little bit daring and courageous and keep doing the things that you feel you should do, regardless of what others might believe. So this trusting yourself and daring to do what you feel you should do, it takes that courage. So for me, truth and courage are both very powerful ingredients, I guess, for living well or living fully. Yeah.
And people can often take dare the wrong way, can't they? Because, and, you know, in the schoolyard, it was like, oh, truth or dare, you know, I'm going to dare you to go and hit the teacher on the bum or something, you know, like something ridiculous, which, again, I just wanted to clarify because, you know, stepping into that dare is more about daring yourself to do something that you feel, not necessarily what other people want you to do or what the schoolyard bully wants you to do, but what you really feel, because that it's that daring to walk through those fears, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I don't know what work you do exactly, Susan, but I imagine in many instances you start to teach people to look even what do they feel. A lot of people have never looked there. Like, what do I feel? They're always looking externally. So that sounds wonderful that you're participating in that work with people.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, so we are getting a bit low, and I know you have got other events to do, busy, busy girl. But before I go to, make sure you jump onto Sandy's website, and you will get the book on there too, the book's on there. So it is thecouragecircle.com, so you'll be able to see it all there and get the book on there. Any last words that you want to share with us before you go, Sandy?
Yeah, I would just encourage people in general to just trust yourself. You know, this is not a message we get regularly in life from people. They're always telling you, like, oh, you should do this, you should do that. But that's the one thing I would kind of leave with people in their minds. Just trust yourself. Trust yourself.
Oh, I love it. That's cool. And one of the things that, you know, you're talking about, you get all this information from different people and, you know, yes, you're reading and everything else. One of the things I picked up was the word, to not use the word should.
Yes.
And as you've just said it there, not to use the word should. And it was like, well, you know, don't, first of all, it's like, well, don't tell me what to do, as you do. And then I started to look a little bit deeper into it because the word should make somebody wrong. Now, whether it's yourself or somebody else, it's making someone wrong. And they say, change the word should to could, and then you have choice.
Right.
Because I know I used to say it all the time, oh, I should have done that. Oh, I should have done this. And as soon as I say that, I make myself wrong. And it's like, yeah, you know what? Makes I sense. Could have done that. But
yeah,
I didn't
for whatever reason. Yeah. Well, yeah. I've had my lessons too. I think pretty much anything I wrote about, I was probably doing the opposite. So that's where the kindness is, to be able to see that it's okay to learn, make mistakes, do differently now. Like, it doesn't make anybody bad or wrong. It's just part of learning and growing up. And, you know, I think we don't grow up just and stop at 18. We always grow and keep growing up. So it's a normal thing to realize, oh, I used to do that. I used to give that. That's pretty much my life.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still growing. I can't wait to work out what I'm going to do when I grow up.
Right.
I don't know if I'll ever grow up. Maybe grow out, but not grow
yeah,
up.
Exactly. I'm here with you.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Sandy. It was really good. And again, people, you know, jump onto the website. It was fantastic. I love the whole concept of the circle, because to first of all, it's like focusing on you, and then taking that out further. And that's, you know, how can you tell somebody what you like or who you are or be who you are if you don't know who you are? You've got to do that first.
Absolutely. Everything towards you first, even though we're taught the opposite, you know, like.
Absolutely.
Because then what happens on the inside is going to happen on the outside. So definitely first inside. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for being on the show. Stay with me for 2 seconds.
Sure.
And I'll catch up with you there. So I'm going to, hey guys, that was fantastic. You want to understand courage. You know, like, people don't seem to, one of the good parts about courage is when people get stuck with motivation. Read the book about courage, because that will help you with your motivation. I know a lot of people get stuck with motivation for weight loss or giving up cigarettes or, you know, all these sorts of things that we need to be motivated for, to exercise, to do this, to do that. Have a look at courage, because you will be really, really surprised how that courage circle will help you with your motivation. As soon as you start to get an understanding of it, you will be motivated. It will take you forward without any if, buts, or maybes, because you start to learn and understand what it's all about. You start to understand and learn what you're all about. And you will know people don't get motivated because they, you know how we were talking about, you've got this feeling that you want to do and all these fears pop up. People can't get motivated because they can't get through those fears. Understanding the courage will get you through those fears and you will be motivated. But that's me. I'm talking too much again. Share, subscribe, like the podcast. We'd love to have you on board. I've got workshops now going out. I did all those. That's why I've been sick. I've been traveling around collecting everyone else's germs, which was lovely. I love the share and care, but not really. I've got online website, online courses now. You can do all the online courses there, learn how to do basic flower readings, or go right through and become your own workshop facilitator for flower readings. Just contact me. That is it for us this week. We'll see you next week, and I hope you have a great week. Bye for now.